It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this week we're on the Roadrunner record front again, man. Why does it keep happening? We've never done anything by Slipknot, so we decided to talk about Iowa, which is legal in the UK to drink by its age, because it came out August 28, 2001, and I heard it when it came out.
Sorry, are you telling me it's legal to sleep with someone that was born the year this came out?
In America, yeah.
So how old is it?
It's 18.
Yeah, it's legal here.
Yeah, oh well. See, so you could know, fuck it if you wanted.
Trust me, Prince Andrew will be insisting that's legal.
Oh, yes. No, he's been withdrawn from royal duty.
18 years, yeah, but he's not in prison just yet, is he?
Oh, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
And moving on from the royal family.
just goes blank. That's it.
Next we'll be doing fucking Epstein jokes. Do you know what I mean?
Podcast disappears.
We're fucking podcasters getting killed by the Clintons. And
Alan Gulliver were found strangely committed suicide at the same time on the other side of the country.
And Hillary Clinton was questioned. Right,
we've not even gone
on
to the album yet.
So the album come out on 28th of August 2001. I heard it when it came out. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind the first one either. I can't remember much. Fucking hell, it was a whole fucking legally not dead person away. Do you know what I mean? So there's not much to remember about when and where for me with this one. I just remember it, and it was out, and it was big at the time.
I remember I bought this the day it came out. I bought this and System of a Down's Toxicity. I remember I was working in Lakeside. I had a job cleaning, you know, the food court on the top level.
Yeah. I worked there as well.
Did you?
Not in there. I worked in the, not the food court. I worked in the
in Lakeside
Apple store. Yeah, I worked in the Apple store in Lakeside in Essex.
Well,
because it's technically Essex, isn't it, really?
Well, it is Essex. It's in the heartland of it, yeah. Food court, it was my job. I'd just left school, I was in college, and my job was to go around and pick up the trays, put them in the bin, and wipe the tables down, and then clean the tray, put it back on the pile of trays, and those pile of trays were then given back to the restaurants, and it went all in a circle. And if you got promoted, you went on bin duty.
Yeah.
It was a fiver an hour.
That's better than a kick in the teeth then. No, come on.
Fucking right. Nowhere else paid five. When I heard fiver an hour, fucking hell, where do I sign?
Give me the cash.
I was fucking raking it in back then. Everyone else was on fucking 3.30 or whatever the fuck minimum wage was back then. And 16 years old, life ahead of me. Fucking brilliant. And in my break, I think you had an hour's lunch break in the middle of the shift, and then you had 2 20-minute breaks, sort of at one at the beginning and one near the end. So I think you had 2 hours 20 minutes, 2 hours lunch, 2 hours 20 minutes, 2 hours home. So in my little 20 minutes, I got my wallet out of my locker, went down, took the escalator down to HMV, System of a Down Toxicity and Slipknot Iowa, and I don't listen to either of them today.
Ah, so there's a good indication of where this may or may not go then. 515, first track, It's Just Noise. Not more to say really about that for me. It's fuck all to it. It's just a bit of noise. Something they probably play to come out to. Whatever. So, People Equals Shit. Let's start at the actual beginning. This song still stands up today. Okay, everyone heard it about 10 times back in the day. A day. Because it was off everywhere. So if you fuck this crappy intro off and put this in first, then that's it. Let's just take a moment to appreciate the drumming of the now not their drummer anymore. And don't know if he's still doing that band from ages ago. I've just not heard nothing from him in fucking ages. But
he did that black metal band, didn't he? I think that was either this year or last year.
I've not heard nothing since.
Sacramente, Guillaume. It goes on for ages. It's good though. That is good.
Heavy stuff, but like he was a fucking amazing drummer. It's still a good heavy track, but my favourite cover of a Slipknot track is done by Richard Cheese, and it's a jazz singer, and he's like, you can imagine him being in Las Vegas. He probably plays there a lot, and he does covers of metal, Annie, don't people equal shit. It's exactly where you think it's going. I'm going to actually play it for our closer of this episode. I'm going to put it underneath us at the end just to show how jazzy the fucking thing is. So it's the best cover of a metal song by a fucking jazz singer ever. People equal shit. Not a bad start. Good track.
Yeah, saw it. It is quite funny, actually, where this album quite... It is actually a sequel. You could not listen to this album straight in. You can just go straight to Iowa. You have to listen to Slipknot first. Well, yeah. Here we go again, motherfucker. One more time, motherfucker. People Equals Shit was the on the T-shirt, the original Slipknot T-shirt. You had the Slipknot on the logo. And on the back, you had a barcode with People Equals Shit on the end of it. I remember wearing that to school on the uniform day, thinking I was hard.
I used to wear a Get in the Ring motherfucker T-shirt from Guns N' Roses. Yeah, go me.
Yeah, there was a Rage Against the Machine one when it fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. And you'd wear it non-uniform day, knowing you were going to get in trouble. And then when you got in trouble, it was, fuck oppression. Fuck the system. I never got the Cradle of Filth one, though. I never even saw that. I only ever saw that in the news. Even when I was at school, because when I went to college, there was a lot more metalers than there was at school. So I kind of came into myself a bit more at college. But even then, there was a couple of goths. And they all wore Cradle of Filth T-shirts, but I never saw the Jesus is a Cunt one.
I always wanted that, because of Axl Rose.
You can get it now.
I just wouldn't wear it now, because I'm not in school, but I was in a school with priests. It was a Catholic school, so Jesus is a Cunt would not have gone down well. But I called a priest in that school a cunt on several occasions, and a paedophile. In a particular incident in the youth club I used to go to. So there you go. So the T-shirt might have actually been correct in the end. But yeah.
So People Equals Shit is the... is from... They basically took that from their T-shirt. It's a good little tone, sir. I quite like the introduction. In fact, when you're talking, I'm just going to grab a CD. Because... I'll explain when I get it. So,
okay, yeah,
it's a good little opener. Good little look. We're back, motherfuckers! Yay! Yeah, it's an introduction song. Is what it is. It's all good. Whatever. Yeah.
Right. Disaster piece.
You talk, and I'll be 2 seconds.
You keep get. Going. I talk. Whatever you think about the singer, and let's be honest, he's a bit of a tit. You cannot debate his vocal ability. The guitars do kick your face right in. I've never seen this band live. True fact.
This CD I was looking for was closer than I thought it was, actually. So.
Ah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll let you geg in a minute. I've seen Not Slip, the cover band that were from Plymouth. They were all right, actually. When you're a bit pissed, and it's weird how big they got for being as heavy as they are at times in 2001. And I'll say that, it's fucking... I do love a wee-woo, little wee-woo guitar bit, very Machine Head-esque. The drumming is fucking devastating on this song. Again, the band lost something when they lost the drummer.
When they lost him.
They lost something and they never got it back. Fucking amazing drumming. This is just like him, just like you can tell he's probably just set playing this off his head, but just smiling, looking like he's fucking just smoked a big fat joint or something, man. He's just got the natural fucking devastating fucking drumming ability. That was never replaced.
I think, in all honesty, a bit late to say it now, but I think we might have been better off. Well, it's not, it's your choice, so fair enough. I think I would have had more to bring to the table if we was reviewing the first album, to be honest. But I'll refer to it.
We can always go back and do it. We don't have to do things in order.
But you're talking about the drumming, and so I thought, this just jogged my memory, so I thought I'd read you this. I've got in my hands now the Best of Deicide. A few years back, Roadrunner Records released a bunch of Best of compilations.
Yeah.
A lot of them are pretty good, actually. Good little one-stop shop and a good little intro to a band, say you was a bit curious, these were good to pick up, and there was a record shop near my work at the time that was closing down, and I bought a bunch of them for $2.99 each.
Why not?
And it was always good because they all came with liner notes, and in this Best of Dio side, you had the liner notes by Joey Jordison.
Mm.
And I've got here, I had the pleasure of meeting the band in Florida during Ozfest after the release of Incinerate Him.
Mm.
Incinerate Him, as in H-Y-M-M, or one word. I listened to this record constantly during the recording of my drum tracks for Iowa. Looking back at that time, I'm pretty sure subconsciously it helped me with the tracking of Iowa for me. Cuts like Bible Basher and Standing in the Flames continue to punish and strike fear into the hearts of religious groups and modern day white collar society as a whole. Amen to that. So yeah, Joey was listening to the latest Deicide album when
that's
recording this.
Fucking,
yeah.
That's a good fucking point of inclusion, really, because you can kind of see how punishing it is. His drumming style on this, it's almost as if, like, okay, we've done the last album, but this is where I'm gonna smack the shit out of these drums and you're gonna like it. And yeah. Disaster Piece is one of them songs for me. It's just like, fuck me, that is insane. Where it kicks in, that bit, man, the double kick is just fucking bashing your head all over the place. It's fucking amazing stuff. Great track, Disaster Piece. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, he has a kind of little tribal intro before, and then when the song really kicks in, it is just a thing. The worst thing about this song is actually Corey Taylor.
Well, there's a surprise.
Noises, just shut up.
It's like punching Judy. It's like punching Judy a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I always kind of had the feeling, even when this album came out, that they were trying a bit too hard on this one. And I found a lot of it quite corny as well. But we'll go, I'll tackle that as we go thing. I don't really know what I think about this song, really.
This is definitely a mixed bag, this one, isn't it?
It's a poxy album, I've got to be said. It's not that I'm going to be caning the album. It's not that I don't like it. One of the reasons I was kind of backtracked on writing reviews as much as I was, because I used to be pretty prolific. I was writing like every day at one point, but I got burnt out and now I just do sort of selected stuff and I mainly concentrate Metal Legion. And someone else said this, Howard was interviewing someone who'd recently wrote a book on his podcast, and he said, I thought I know exactly how you feel. He said, writing a review for a good album is all well and good, and writing a review for a bad album is all well and good. He went, but when you're writing a fucking review it's not good or bad, you're just mutual with it. He went, it's torture, because you're trying to find something to say and trying to make it an interesting read, but it's fucking hard because you want to be honest as well, and you know.
Mm.
So you try and pick the good bits out, and that's how I feel about this album. I've got a lot more attachment to the first one, although it's not aged well. Where some parts of the first album's aged well, some of it hasn't. On this album, they really can't. There's lots of stuff going on the first album. You can give them that, and they're mixing a lot of different elements together. And on this album, they do refine things a lot more. This one is a lot more straightforward and a bit more. There is a little less. What's the word? They kind of did a bit of a cleansing fire and kept the basics on this album, which to its credit is good, I suppose, but at the same time it's like, we're extreme, we're fucking rah. And it's like, yeah, but you're not, you're doing loads of stuff, there's all lots of things going on but not a lot's really happening, lots of stuff's going on but not a lot's happening, and that really that's kind of runs through on this album for me.
Well, My Plague is the next one. It's a strong riff, but the sound on it's fucking dated. The chorus is pants. This is a step down in quality. I like the little change up at 1 minute 54. The riffs are meaty, and then the chorus just comes on and kills it. It's not a crap song, but it doesn't fit. It's square peg round hole song for me. Fuck you, My Plague, not into it.
Well, this is the single, isn't it? I mean, wasn't... I can't remember if it's this one or... What's the fucking other one later on?
I'm looking at the fucking album right now. I can't...
I've got two copies of it for some reason.
As I fall behind.
Left Behind.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was this song or Left Behind, but they cut a massive chunk out of this song for the video and the single.
Wow. I'm just looking at what I've got.
If you look at My Plague, it's like 2 minutes, but if you look on the album... It's long. It's got like a big heavy section at the beginning. Or
yeah, I listened to the.
I can't remember if that was Left Behind or this one, but I mean, to be honest with you, I actually prefer the one of the things Slipknot gets cane for is their commercial side, but I actually think their commercial side is better than their extreme side when it comes to. The extreme part of them, I'd rather just listen to an extreme band. Which is a bit of a contradiction because I fucking hated their new album. Have you heard that yet?
Yes, it's shit.
God. It is just a Corey Taylor show now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's boring. It's Blabbermouth and Corey Taylor.
It's you might as well fucking put a Stone Sour album on at this point.
Yep.
Anyway.
Looking at you through the glass.
But a track like Left Behind, for what it is, it's like, or My Plague for that, it's kind of, yeah, all right, fair enough. This is sort of surface level heavy music, and it's got a cool, memorable chorus, and I'm okay with that. It is what it is kind of thing. I'd rather listen to this than some of the heavy stuff where they're just trying to be heavy, but not. Yeah, this was on Resident Evil as well. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, was it the first or the second one where the guy got turned into, like, fucking human cubes from the lasers?
Fuck knows. I think it was the first one, but... The first one was the only one I watched, to be honest.
Yeah, and it had Thingy Mabobble, who's been in everything, and he got turned into cubes. Fucking Luther. He got cubed up to fuck.
What, Idris Elba?
Yeah, I'm sure he's in it.
Resident Evil? Is he?
I think he is, yeah, and he gets turned into cubes. He gets turned into... Off cubes.
My first thing with Idris Elba was The Wire. That's kind of what I know him from.
The Wire is just the bollocks.
Yeah, that was a great series, and he was played a great character in it. I mean, he's in work today because of The Wire, and it's for good reason, you know.
Exactly. If you haven't seen The Wire, much recommend. Gangsters and shit. It's very good.
But anyway, carrying on. Yeah, My Plague just is what it is, you know. It's a single and...
I didn't like it, to be fair.
This is what I'm going to be like this whole album, I'm afraid. I'm really trying to be in sweat.
How are you? What's happened here? How are you the miserable cunt and I'm not? I think something's happened in the world. It's turned flips upside down or something.
You've found my weakness.
I knew
when
you'd
be when you suggested this, I thought, for fuck's sake.
I love it. Everything ends. I like the intro on it. Complicated little riffs. Heavy shit, much better than My Plague. It's angry music, and it's Walk Faster on a Cold Day. And the woo-woo bit is cool. There's a talented set of musicians and people on this fucking song, but the stage show it's like fucking Hamlet. There's a million different fucking people involved, and you're like, who should I look at? Guy with the stupid mask, number one or whatever they're called, number nine, number 10 or whatever. It's like, I don't know, even the cover band that I've seen a couple of times, I'm like, where the fuck am I looking? That guy climbing the stage or the one on the bar with the fucking beer keg, like, what am I gonna do here? It's a little bit distracting for me, but it's a good track.
That I do like. I mean, I've got a bit of a love-hate relationship with Slipknot. I kind of stick with them, but I kind of stopped getting anything out of them a long time ago. But I do stick with them for some reason because what an impact they had on me as a youngster at the beginning. I suppose it's like someone in their 50s now still, you know, sticking with Kiss, even though what's left of Kiss today is very... there's not much. I mentioned if you was listening to a live Love Gun and Destroyer when it came out, I could see why you'd be pissed off with Kiss now.
You know what I mean?
It's called Scab Kiss. Yeah. See, I know this. Scab Kiss. I don't know what that means, but Scab Kiss.
Okay. I can't remember where I was going with this.
tangent.
Yeah. I just, yeah, they really did make an impact with me with the first album. So I do kind of still love that first album because it takes me back. And I remember even when this album came out, I was a bit underwhelmed. And a good thing about Slipknot is that they were a gateway to more extreme music. Like, they are based on death metal. They did take death metal.
Definitely.
And they did commercialise it. They made it friendly.
That's the thing I'm trying to get across, I suppose, and what I'm saying is some of the tracks that became exceptionally popular from the first few songs we've had already, the fat lad from The Sopranos had fucking Slipknot tops on and fucking mainstream. These took it fucking mainstream. Whether you like them or not, people who take heavier music mainstream need to be respected for that. And they did, and
a lot of bands that I'm into today, I did, through reading interviews with the bands, like when they did, you know, Metal Hammer and Kerrang, they would have like individual interviews with each member, and it'd be like, name your top five albums and stuff like that. And plus, I was getting those Drill in the Vein videos I always reference. But yeah, that's what made me check out Deicide, Malevolent Creation. I mean, fucking hell, Mick Thompson, you know, the big ferocious Undertaker-looking one, the guitarist with the black hair and a black mask. He's got the artwork from the first Immolation album tattooed on his arm.
Nice.
You know, so death metal was in there, in the sort of DNA of the bands. They took the sort of nu metal thing, which everyone was doing at around that time anyway, fair enough. But they did give it a death metal, you know, shot in the arm. And yeah, Joey Jordison's drums, especially on these first two albums, they took drumming to another level. It put things up a notch. So, like with Dave Lombardo's drumming on Rain in Blood, for example, that was just like, right, this is the standard now. You know, like every so often someone just comes along and, you know, if you said to a kid, like you want to start drumming, right, well, listen to that album. You're pretty good, but you ain't shit, so you can do this. Yeah. And then Slipknot come along. So you did that with Rain in Blood, and now you can go the first Slipknot album, right, that's good, but you ain't shit, so you can do this. This is the new standard, you know? And then you move on to fucking Nile or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I always look back on the time when Lars Ulrich was sick and fucking Joey Jordison went on and played with Metallica and just owned it. Totally fucking owned it. The man,
it was
don't hear much now, but he just fucking owned it.
Well, yeah, I'll talk to you about that actually later, because I was there when he come out. He disappeared for a few years after leaving Slipknot, didn't he? And then he came out at the Metal Gods Awards, and I was there that night, and he gave a real heartfelt speech. And when he came out, and everyone just fucking applauded, like everyone was happy to see him, like, the whole room just erupted, and he fucking broke down there and then, because he was overwhelmed. He hadn't said anything at that point though, so he started saying, like, I was sick. He was basically paralyzed and had to learn to walk again. He had some nervous thing, he's something wrong with his spine that just basically shut his nerves down or something fucking weird like that,
fucked up that way.
Yeah, he had to, like, basically physically learn to use his legs again. And I don't know what fucking happens between him and the band, because they distanced themselves from him pretty quick. And even after that, it was like, yeah, they could have done a bit more to help him. Or they could have, you don't know what happens here.
But we all suspect Corey Taylor, though, but we will never know the actual truth.
Yeah, but there's eight other members. There's 13 other members of Slipknot.
Yeah, but
they can't just let one guy.
Look who owns half the fucking everything of the band now, and it put everyone else on fucking contracts. Just kind of tells you what's going on there.
When not long after Paul Gray died, Joey did an interview in Kerrang magazine. Not Kerrang magazine, Terrorizer magazine.
And Terrorizer!
And it was basically Joey Jordison going through his record collection and basically talking about his love of black metal. And it gave like his top five black metal albums. He was talking about basically how listening to black metal influenced his drumming now and everything what he's doing. And basically they said, look, what's going on with Slipknot? Because obviously when Paul Gray died, they stopped for a bit. And he basically, and at that point, fucking Corey Taylor's at award shows dressed in a pink suit and
being basically, a tit.
Yeah, and and he basically just said, I don't want to do another Slipknot album. It don't feel right doing it without Paul and yada yada. And I remember reading this thinking, fucking hell. Joey basically just went, there's going to be another Slipknot album, whether Corey's on it or not. That didn't age well. But they just said, like, no, I've written stuff. I've got fucking stuff ready to go, like fully written songs. And if he doesn't want to do it, then fine, but I'm doing it. It's like Slipknot. It's like me and Paul and Sean formed Slipknot. We were there at the beginning. Like, we'd already had an album under our belt before Corey joined. So I'm not letting what my friend created die. You know, and it was like, so there was obviously some static going on at this point, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
death brings out the best in people, don't they say?
Yeah, so something fucking weird happened when Paul Gray died because it's not been right ever since. Because up until that point, I remember thinking, not a lot, you know, just a fault of, isn't it funny that that band has managed to maintain a lineup of nine members for like 10 years or whatever it was. Like, you see the lineup changes every other band goes through, and yet this band kept nine members that whole time. And then just as I thought that, it fell apart.
It did, and now
they're
people
dropping
are
like
suing
flies.
Now they're suing the fuck out of each other. It's like proper rock and roll fucking bollocks, isn't it? And
yeah,
all signs point to a certain person. It wasn't there from the beginning.
Yeah,
I think everything ends. Anything to add?
Yeah, I thought this song was really shit. Even then, I just thought
I thought you'd say this
is fucking Slipknot. Like, why am I getting I broke up with my girlfriend's song on a Slipknot album? What the fuck is this? And I think I'm gonna be sick, and it's your fault. Fuck off. I thought that was shit then.
Yeah, fair enough.
What I wanted to say was Slipknot showed me the door. I ran through that fucking door and never looked back. And by the time this second album came out, it was just kind of, I've outgrown this now.
That's fair.
As arrogant that might sound, I've outgrown this. Oh, me.
Tippy drinking with your pinky finger up and shit.
I didn't mean it like that, but you do evolve, don't you?
Your taste
does evolve. And when you're getting into metal, and you're, especially if you're, the way I am, I've always looked for that, how heavy we can go, and then you find your limit, and that's normally where you stay. So some people, Slipknot was their limit, and they did stay around that level, but I went one deeper and got into more extreme. And
I was into the extreme before these fuckers turned up, like, but
I found my limit with grindcore. I went for a bit of a limit. I went for about a year where I really got into it, and now I've sort of whittled it down to five albums, and I'm just not into it anymore.
I'm trying to think of something like deathcore
or slamcore or any of that shit.
Most of the 90s stuff is annoying for me now. Most of it. But some of it's fucking gold. So I stick to the gold and drop the shit. A lot of it I wouldn't listen to again, that I've got CDs up there. I'll see it. It's nice to have it, but at the same time, nah, you're not getting played.
Yeah. I'm at that age now where I know what I like and what I don't. So I'm pretty much good at navigating what I like now, rather than for a good fucking hell, probably 20 years I sucked in everything. What's this like? What's that like? What's good about this? What's good about that? But in that 2 years, what was it, between Slipknot and Iowa, I was getting into hardcore music as well. I was getting into thing, and when this came around, I found it all a bit corny and a bit disingenuous.
Well, let's go to the Heretic Anthem then. I like the raw sound and intro. The double kick again, man, it's fucking punishing. this was another bigger tune, really. It's definitely one of them Punch Your Neighbour songs. It reminds me of Five Finger Death Punch. Why do it's that kind of ethos where you could have a drink and have a fight kind of a song. But are you going to continually listen to it? No, probably not. It is very helpful to get angry now and again. Drums and guitar are on point. Let's talk about the quality of the music. I listened to the remaster, obviously. I've got the original on two different versions, a special edition or something else, but I listened to the remaster. The bass gets lost at times in the mix. When you do hear it, it does sound like an elastic band, which is a load of ass. But yeah, the mix isn't that bad. It was taking the bass later on in the album, I end up fucking despising, to be completely honest, but not a bad song. 555666. It was a big tune, man. This was another one that was everywhere as well. For what it was, again, it's not a bad track. I didn't mind it.
Again, the music's good, but if you're 555, then I'm 666. It's just like, oh. Yeah.
Have nice one.
again, you're listening to DSI, you're listening to fucking Akakoka, and you got all the black metal bands coming out, and then you got this. 666, you know, it's just yeah, I just found it really corny, and again, the music's alright, but
do you want a hug, Joe? I feel like I'm scarring you in this episode. I'm fucking tortured you for the fucking week.
I mean, I've got this album somewhere.
You know, if my boy wanted to play it, I'd have it on in the car.
And some of it sounds dated, so he might not like it as much,
and you know, I'd rather listen to this than fucking Ed Sheeran, but
yeah, if I had to choose, it wouldn't be the ginger tosser by any way, shape or form, but yeah, I could get that. Gently, a change of pace.
Yeah, right, things change now.
It reminds me of Machine Head. I'm waiting for it to do something, but ultimately this song does fuck all for me. It stays the same pace and it really doesn't do fuck all for me. A bit of a lost cause on this. Same riff over and over again, and yeah, it's shit. The speed up is nice near the end of the song, but by the time we're there, I'm already over it. It's a dead song. It's a B-side at best if you're lucky. Just fuck this song. It's a shit one.
Right, see, this is where things get interesting for me. I quite like this one. I really like the sinister introduction. Ding, 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 ding. Maybe a bit of Megadeth in there.
Mm.
And just when it kicks in, dun, 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 bang, dun, dun, bang, dun, dun, bang, dun, dun, bang, 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 bang. Yeah, I actually think this is really cool. Yeah, builds up to the vocals and gets a bit, you know.
That's what it sounds like. He's having a whinge.
But that fucking opening to the song is fucking awesome. I do really like it. And funny enough, though, this is on the first Slipknot album, this song. This is on the original version of this is on Mate. What's it called? Mate Feed Kill Repeat.
Is that it? I don't know.
The little mini album they did before they were signed. The vocals are slightly different and the arrangements did, but this introduction is actually entirely on a track on that. So check that out. Yet again, it's a sequel to the first album. This is just remnants. Mm. It's just leftover stuff. It keeps being made out to be this fucking pinnacle album. It's the fucking leftovers from the first album. And they've just gone... The first album's really heavy. Let's just up the ante and make it even heavier by just putting loads of underneath a load of corn riffs. and there's...
I think... Is it Disaster Piece or My Plague?
That's a fucking... That's Clown.
Yeah.
By Corn.
I hate Corn.
And they were cunting Corn off at the time as well.
I fucking hate Corn. We're never doing a Corn album, unless you want me to just slate
again,
it.
I love Korn when I was shit. A skull, but I don't even think I even own any of their albums now.
Like, yeah, fuck them.
I'm sentimental with my albums as well. I keep stuff, but that I can't be bothered.
No. Do you like to hear Rubber Band bass? Then listen to Korn. pile of farty, raspy ass shit bass. Pretend I got bummed by someone. Arsehole knobhead music.
I will say though, Freak on a Leash is one of the best music videos ever. That does look awesome.
I still don't like them. The shit.
But anyway, I quite like Gently.
I thought that was the sort of standout on the. It's like, that was the only part of the album that stood out to me, is they were doing something different and doing something actually heavy.
Well, I think takes us to the next one, Left Behind. I never liked the opening riff, and I still don't. I like the shouty bands. This was another one that was big, and it was on radio friendly, so got them play everywhere. It's better than the fucking last shite. The change up about 1 minute 55 is good. And then later on, he sings about Tasty Fingers out of tune. And Tasty fucking Fingers. I'm just not into this one as much either. It's not getting any better for me. We're kind of getting to mixed bag territory here for me. And I'm Left Behind. It was everywhere, but doesn't make it right.
Yeah, again, it's a good single. You know, if this is what's going on MTV and everything, it serves its purpose. I don't think it's got bad chorus. Da da Joe, da da da. You know, it all goes along, and yeah, but it's not something I'd choose to put on. But if it's on in the background in a bar or something,
I want to get the lyrics to it, because he's singing about fucking Tasty Fingers at some stage. Whilst you're talking, I'm gonna look for the lyrics, because I've got the fucking album here. Tasty Fingers. I bet it hasn't got any lyrics in. Oh yeah, it might do. Yeah, there's
artwork to this album is pretty good, actually, because I remember at the time you had adverts of the goat with just a white background, but when the album came out, it was like a silver
background that was like reflecting of the light, and then when you opened it up, all the lyrics, it all folded out to one long thing, but it was like tracing paper. You could see through it. It was really translucent. So you had the band, like pictures of each band member with the lyrics on top on this like see-through tracing paper. It did look really good, actually. And then you had the goat fetus on the...
I can feel it in my mouth. I can taste you on my fingers. Tasty Fingers. Yeah, so I knew I'd heard that, and I was like, what the fuck? Why are you singing about Tasty Fingers? Like, weird finger-sucking fuck.
I don't know what... Yeah, but you chose this. You're not allowed to slate it. No, I can slate it.
I can slate it when it's justified, when he's singing about tasty fucking fingers. It's not like he's eating a fish finger sandwich or some shit like that. It's just talking about licking his fingers and going, that tastes like woman. Do you know what I mean? What the fuck? Wash your hands, you dirty cunt. It's just fucking horrible. It's just horrible. I don't fish fingers in that respect. Wash your hands, bitch. Yeah, my name. I just couldn't get into it. Couldn't get into Left Behind at all, really. The Shape, faster intro and the drums smash your head in again. Silly wobbly guitar riff, then the worst thing happens. An elastic band comes out that pretends to be a bass, and then it goes, woo, then it goes horrible. It was becoming one good song, one good riff, and then the next song's really shit for me now. It sounds dated to fuck. The drums are still on point, though. There was always some arsehole that you knew in your group of friends at the time who fucking liked this song, and they were an arsehole for a reason, and you're probably not the friend now. And that's The Shape for me. This is the fucking one of the crappiest songs on the album. Fuck you, Elastic Sound bass. If you play bass now and you've got an Elastic Sound and bass, you're a cunt. All right. I just hate it.
It's a Slipknot song. I mean, separate, I lost my
That's kind of catchy, kind of cool. Don't know about the break dancey bit in the middle.
Electric boogaloo bit.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, there's just fuck all with it. Like, it's a crap song. I Am Hated. We're steaming through this one, but yeah, short song this one. I don't mind it. It's again, this is a better song, not a shit one. This is the first time I liked a little bit of the clean bits, but I'm not a fan of his clean singing on the first two albums anyway. It's a good little riff. Again, just not to overstate it, these turned a lot of kids into fucking heavier metal in the 2000s. A lot of people did kind of fuck it off after Slipknot, though. They were kind of, but a lot of people did stay and went on to heavier things from the first two albums.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said for that. We should just appreciate that for what it is. It was fucking 2000s when everyone thought fucking metal was dead. And they pulled it out of the arse, really.
A lot of death metal bands did benefit from them because, you know, they did give a gateway to... Some people do kind of shit on that theory. They're like, "What? You know, I didn't need help getting into metal. Why did I?" It's like, well, yeah, but no one goes straight in with Niall, you know? Like, everyone has that little hook and then they go deeper and deeper, and this was a hook for a lot of people, you know? And
they were a fad band.
And it was for me. Like I've been saying, I got into Slipknot. And yeah, I probably would have done it anyway, who knows? But this is my... Everyone has their gateway, and this was mine, so...
There's people who will listen to this podcast based on the fact that it's Slipknot and they never really got into anything past it. But that's all right too. As long as you're still listening to this genre and it's opened your eyes in one respect, that's cool. Yeah. But you did get a lot of people who were... You'd catch them in the day wearing a Slipknot t-shirt. Now they'll be fucking dancing to fucking Lulu at a 70s fucking disco or some shit. It's just one of them. You're either stuck with it or you didn't. And this was a big opener for a lot of people.
I think Corey Taylor would dance to Lulu if it came on at a party. Yeah,
I might if intoxicated
he'd
enough.
He'd do a fucking Lulu covers album if he thought it would get him in Blabbermouth for fucking...
Skin Ticker, or have you got any more for I Am Hated? I suspect you might not.
No, not really. Have I even reviewed it? It sounds like everything else.
Skin Ticker's a longer song. Slower start with the main riff. Be a keg bashing, and then it goes shit, dead shit. Not into it. It drags like a colonoscopy, slowly working its way up your arsehole and through your colon to take pictures of your insides, then rip out tiny pieces of your insides for them to test. It's a terrible song. It's simply terrible. It has the occasional good riff, but it's the only thing that's going to happen here. It's just going to go right up your arse, just like that camera.
So New Abortion. This was the first track that was publicly played. There was a lot of hype around this album when it was coming out. All the magazines were fucking on it. Like, months before it came out, you had loads of interviews, Slipknot on the cover, Slipknot specials. Kerrang had this like fold out edition. Kerrang was like a fucking £1.25 magazine that came out every week. Does it still come out every week? I don't know. But this one had a cardboard cover and it had Slipknot on the cover, and you could unfold it from inside to make all nine members. It was like, yeah, this album's fucking crazy. It's heavier than the first album. They've gone all out. And even then, about 2 weeks before, it wasn't like the internet where you fucking had it, you know.
the moment you click a button.
This was like... So even in 2 weeks before it came out, there was a review in Kerrang and they gave it 5 out of 5. This is it, you know?
Mm.
And I think it was Marianne Hobbs' show on Radio 1. You had her on Tuesday, if I remember correctly, and Ian Canfield on XFM on Friday. But yeah, that was... tonight I've got a new track from Slipknot.
Off the new album. It's like, fucking hell. Of course, they fucking put it on right at the end, because her show was on at midnight midnight till 2 a.m. So, you know, bleeding bodge job corporation like to fucking make out they're all fucking catering for all different tastes. Like, yeah, you've given us a fucking metal show, you put it on at fucking midnight.
I'd rather have it on midnight with them than the current fucking presenter.
Yeah, all right.
Because he's a cunt. And I've met him.
Oh, is that guy from A?
Yeah, with the stupid haircut and thinks he's fucking God. Walks around festivals like he owns the gaff. Proper knob.
All right. but anyway, Marianne Hobbs is all right. And anyway, this was the first track I heard. And it ain't a bad track, in all fairness. It's one of the better ones on here. But at the same time, I was just thinking, like, my first inkling was, this is more of the same then, isn't it? It's not like like a step up. You know,
stick to the formula.
Heavier. Yeah, it was just like, oh, right, it's just another Slipknot song. But in all fairness, though, I did like it when I heard it.
Yeah.
With that being said, and it, I kind of listened to it a few more times before the extra album came out. And yeah, normally, you know, when you get a new song, it's normally like one of the first songs on the album. I thought it was quite funny that this was quite late in the album. Mm. But yeah, it's one of the better songs on here. It's pretty much heavy into the bolts of the wall.
And so, yeah, it's not a bad track, really, is it?
I'm still fucking lukewarm, though, to be
honest.
No,
I can tell it. You're struggling for superlatives. It's much better start to this one. It didn't have much to do much since for the last one because I fucking hated it. The drumming, again, man, just fucking... Even if you don't like the music, the drumming is something to be like, whoa. Still now. The impressions were made.
Joey Johnson's fucking amazing.
Yeah. I liked it when it came out and I still do. It's one good one, one bad one. You can't hear the bass, but it sounds... when you can hear the bass, you don't want to hear it. I don't mind it. The end bit, you can't take your soul away from me. I don't mind it. It's not a bad track, and it's certainly a lot better than fucking Skin Flap Ass Rape Ticket. Like Colonoscopy, because if I can compare a song to Colonoscopy, I'm going to throw that in the mix. But yeah, it's not a bad song. Metabolic. I like the little riff. And do I like two songs in a row? Because this album was getting like one good song, one horrible song, one good song, and I was getting a bit fucking annoyed. They do, in my opinion, speedier songs better. I don't like the softer songs from Slipknot at all. It does me fucking head in. I just want to listen to them play fast and fucking angry. You called Slipknot, that sounds like an angry name. Just fucking do that. Keep the pop music and use it on other fucking projects. That's talking to you, Mr. Taylor, you gobshite. But yeah, I didn't mind it. Two good songs in a row, which kind of picked it up a little bit for me, and I was starting to lose a bit of faith with it. And yeah, Metabolic, where you at?
Fuck you, Gully. That's where I'm at with this song.
Love it. Love it. Got you. go forth and talk, sir.
I'm trying to fucking... I feel like I'm fucking reviewing Blood Oranges. It's like, do you like Blood Oranges? It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're all right.
Do you prefer Blood Oranges or normal oranges? I don't...
White onion or red onion?
Yeah.
It's like whatever. That, isn't it? It's just put it with me fucking cheese. It's onion.
And it's
it's this or the next song. So talk about this for a bit more because I'm not going to talk much about the next one. I fucking got other than just slag it off to completely.
Well, I like the drumming.
Yay! The drumming's all right. Yeah, can't disagree with that. There's some meaty riffs. The record scratching. No. I just think Keep Rolling or something.
That was overplayed. A lot of bands did that at the time as well. When it's
keep rolling. So just like stop it now. And do they still have one? And do we give a fuck? No, not really.
I think the DJ is the only one that ain't fucking left.
He's probably contracted. He's probably happy to get a payday. He doesn't do fuck all else, does he? He just goes, now, hey, see ya, payday, bye. Fucking, he's took his 1% he gets now on his monthly pay contract. Fucking contest. So you got nothing to say about Metabolic, really?
Not really. No. It's Slipknot. You could have picked a poxier album.
I know, but we have to grind this motherfucker out. And
but it's not that it's terrible. It's not. It's just, you know what I mean?
It's just is what it is. It's of its time in places. I can understand
it is definitely
that.
Of its time, yeah.
So we get to Iowa. It's right. The title track, right. And it's fucking huge. Intro for a bit, slow stuff. I'm going to switch off here. It's a very long rinse and repeat songs. Should have been left. No interest in this whatsoever. Should have finished on the previous track. Ruined by the end. Cunt of a track. Bass played live on an Elastic Band. Fuck you, Iowa, you piece of shit. Knobhead track. Dislike, hate.
It's just, yeah, it's...
It's like being able to give yourself a blowjob and then just telling everyone else that you can give yourself a blowjob and then just recording it for fucking 14 minutes.
It's 15 minutes for the sake of being 15 minutes. It's, you know, it's got stuff going on. It's got, you know, that little kind of sinister bit at the beginning and it builds up. That's all well and good, but
again, I just remember when I listened to it the first time, I was like, right, because Scissors, the track that closed the first album, that was a real climax to the album, and it was really long, but it was one of those songs that had like 8 minutes of silence before it had the
little secret track,
the little secret.
Do you remember them?
Oh yeah.
But it was just it just goes on and on and on, and I just remember thinking this is going to build up and this is going to build up and this is building and this is to oh we're going down now. Oh,
okay,
this seems very self-indulgent. Shouldn't be here.
Like Scissors, they used to close their live show with it as well. Like it was like this epic fucking, again, it was a climax, and it became the climax of the live show. You know, just they just fucking did it and freaked out and fucked off and just ended. It was no, thank you, good night. They just walked off at the end of it, and you were just left with this opened wound of a song. And this just isn't that at all. It just. Again, you just think it's building up and building up and building up, and then it comes to the end, and then it just starts winding down and goes back to the beginning, and it's like, I was 15 minutes already. Oh, okay.
It just
fucking goes nowhere. And...
Yeah. So, go for the ratings, Joe. Go on. Get your rating out the way. I've made you suffer enough.
Give it a fucking 5.
Man, you're lower than me. 6. Some big tracks that changed the fucking scene for a lot of people and brought people to metal and the drumming, and that's the reason why it gets a 6, because of that. That's it. There's a drumming masterclass, and it took the focus away from the shite that was on the radio at the time and
it
brought
goes
a
to
few
show
people.
How good a drummer Joey Jordison is, because he fucking saved what would have been a very mediocre album otherwise.
I would agree with that. It still sounds, some of the tracks you're just like, fucking hell, man, what, how many cans of coke or cups of coffee did that motherfucker have, or lines of whatever, to bash that shit out?
Yeah
and on time. And
if you look at the they're at fever pitch at this point as well. They're headlining arenas, and if you look at, there's a concert from this tour where Joey does a drum solo, and fucking hell, man, he was awesome. And going through the catalogue, after this album, Corey did Stone Sour, and Joey did the Murder Dolls, and Sean the Clown did some fucking weird project that no one listened to.
Never knew he did one. Don't care.
It was called To My Surprise or something. A bunch of them started promoting bands as well. We had Down the Sun, which Clown executively produced. He also executively produced. What does that even mean, by the way?
I put my name on it, so your band sells stuff. Give me money.
He stood in the studio and nodded while they played.
Yeah, they put his name on it, and he said, "Can I have 1% of whatever this makes, please?"
He did that with Mudvayne. Mudvayne got a bad deal, I think. Someone somewhere should have gone, drop the makeup, because they kind of got lumped in with all the nu metal stuff, but there was actually a bit more to them, and I think their image kind of overshadowed that a bit.
But so eventually they got back together and did the third album, which was going to be, we're doing something different on this album, it's going to be fucking out there, woo,
yay.
It was different. They did just loads of weird songs with a couple of singles thrown in. In fact, the one... It's like a grungy one. My Dan justifies my means.
Oh, yeah.
I don't actually mind that song.
It's all right. Yeah.
But that's as good as the album gets. Then you had the fourth album,
which again was just I remember at that point when that album came out, I was listening to it with a mate going like, Joey's the only reason I even fucking stay interested in this band. Like, they're doing nothing for me. I didn't mind Sulfur. What was the other one they did on that album?
There's very little
Snuff song, and
they're very little for me. After the first three or four,
I checked out the last album with the new drummer and the new bass player, and in all fairness, it ain't a bad album. I'll give it that. I listened to it cautiously optimistic, shall we say?
Yeah.
I was kind of done with Slipknot, but with what was going on with the band, and this was a new lineup, and it was a bit of hype, and I remember my missus at the time was at Lakeside, funnily enough.
Ooh.
And she said, do you want anything while we're here? Is there anything you need? And I went, oh, do me a favour. Just go to HMV and pick up the new Slipknot album, will you?
Have a look.
Fair enough, yeah. And my missus is into metal as well. She's not into, Deceased. But she'd be happy at a Download festival or maybe Bloodstock,
Yeah.
She doesn't go quite as deep as I do, but there is some stuff I have on in the car. She's just like, turn this shit off.
If you're driving, you're fucking your choice, mate. Yeah, just saying, that's the rules. Them be car rules,
fair enough. You don't expect to pay,
whatever, some of the fucking dark shit I listen to, like Leviathan or something.
But I remember we went to Lincolnshire as well, and it was kind of like we listened to that album and we listened to Corey
on the Jamie Jester's podcast as well, and we were like both
sort of sitting and going, yeah, it's all right. I mean, this is a good song, and it was like, this guy is fucking awesome on drums, but he is completely mimicking Joey's style. Like, this could be Joey.
That's what they fucking wanted, though, innit?
Yeah. And the new album
didn't quite work for me.
The new album, the We Are Not Your Kind or whatever. The opening track is the one they did that video for, that arty farty video that looked like a Behemoth video.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
It did.
That's as interesting as the album gets. The album opens with that and go, oh, fucking hell, this is a bit out there. This is cool. And then the rest of the album is just Slipknot by numbers in there, radio friendly. They used to be scary, man. Like, they used to be fucking intimidating. You know, when the whole thing I think is sick coming over the speakers, and they all walked out on stage one by one, and it was going to kick off
It was only ever going to fucking last now, that long, that kind of
image. There's no mystery to them anymore. It's just like...
And now he looks like a character off with his new mask of that kid's cartoon, Hey Arnold. He's got one of them weird heads.
That's another thing as well, actually. I do like the way every
album has been like a new era to the band and a new sort of chapter in the story, with the masks change every album and evolve. And I do quite like that aspect of them, but the new mask does look shit. Yeah. It's like the Joker. With his hair down, and
yeah,
it's like you've had some cool masks in your time, man. Could you not have thought of anything better than just a fucking sheet of plastic?
Yeah, it just looked like he'd put a fucking plastic bag on his face, doesn't it? To be completely honest,
and
I think we can both.
If Joey came back to the band, I think that would. I'd be interested then, but apart from that,
he probably wouldn't because he'd have to go on paper play, and he wouldn't. I don't think he'd have that. And fair enough. Let's just safely say that we're probably done with Slipknot on the show. I think that's probably a given because we've done an overview. Because fuck, it was hard work at times for me. I'll be honest. Giving it a 6 was based on a couple of things: what they did for the genre of the time and the drumming, mostly. And he can't sing clean to save his life, and neither can Tuck and Stone Sour. So fuck yous.
He's got better as a singer now. Time's gone on.
I mean,
in all fairness to him, like, he's doing Dio covers and.
I can't stand his fucking clean voice. I just never have got on with it. I've just always had that thing where I'm like... Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking in terms of technicality, what he can and can't do, not whether I actually like it or not.
Swap me mic. Oh, fuck's sake. Right. I don't know, but I think we can safely say that Slipknot has been... Well, we've untied that knot, and we will not be retying it for the foreseeable future. So... some things we have to address. We are going to be recording a Christmas special, and we're going to be getting loads of people on from different bands. Hopefully, not going to tell you anyone who's come on, because until we've spoken to them, it's not happening. So it'll just be a big surprise. We're trying to get on as many cool different people as you like.
Yeah, different podcasts,
different genres,
guests, different things. Yeah, we're gonna put together a really good Christmas special, because it's been 5 years. We didn't do anything for our fifth anniversary.
Nope.
Because we didn't get round to it, basically. So we're gonna put together something special for Christmas for our listeners, for sticking with us. And we're going to ask our
listeners to help out as well, if they actually want to do something. I'm going to put up an email address that I'll set up for the Christmas special. And if you want to record, like, say, no more than 5 minutes, right, and just tell us some of your favourite music that came out this year, being 2019, then do it and send it to the email address that I will create later and put it in the notes of this podcast. So what, you click on the picture that gives you the notes. No one ever fucking reads them, but fucking read them, because then you can email us, or at Rock Show Online on Twitter, you could message us, because we want people to get involved. So actually get off your arse and record something, or just send us a message with your top shit, and we might even mention it in that respect if you're too shy or you have a shit mic.
Get involved, guys. This is your show, so... You know, we'd love for the listeners to get involved and interact with us and let us know what you think. And there is a guy that did actually request a Overkill review. I think it was... Which one was it? I think he wanted either Under the Influence or the Years of Decay. I can't remember which one he wanted. But that's on the list, mate. I've not forgot you. I do remember him requesting that. So we'll get around to that eventually.
Yeah, we'll be on it.
I want to crack on with... I want to try and get Black Sabbath and Death finished.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath, the original lineup. I'd like to go beyond that, but I don't know if I'm wasting my time, to be honest, because I don't think Gully's going to like it.
No, but I dragged you... Well, to be fair, I dragged you through this. You are perfectly within your rights to drag me through stuff I may not like.
Okay. Next week, we've got Lee... from Malevolent Creation is going to be joining us, and we're going to be reviewing Deeds of Flesh, Portals to Canaan.
Yep.
That's his choice, so we're looking forward to that. Going forward, we've got the Christmas special that we're going to be working on. That's going to take a bit of time.
Well, keeps me busy. I need to stay busy. Good times for me.
And then after that, so that's what we're doing next week. Week after that, who knows? And but that's one thing we're working on as well. And yeah, I think I've got about 20 albums that I need to whittle down to a top 10. So I'm.
You always have loads, and I just fucking. I forget what I listen to and go back through my Spotify and just collate stuff I've listened to. Well, I look at like how many things I've listened to. It gives you a little list before the end of the year of what you've been playing that come out that year as well. So it's quite helpful in that respect, even though artists get fuck all from it. But I've got four in the top of my head now, but I need to take time and go back to it. Because it's been a topsy-turvy year for me, so it's all over the place, what I've listened to be completely honest. But I think we've probably got a few on the list that are going to be the same, definitely this year. But I'm looking forward to that one. It's always fun, and we've got a different spin on it as well. So have you got any magazine stuff coming, anything you need to know? Sell your wares and wear any
just
more reviews?
The current... edition of Metal Legion is doing the rounds at the moment. It's doing well. It's the one with Jeff from Possessed on the front cover. Check out metallegion.com. Go on the Facebook page. That's Metal Legion with one L, spelt one word. So Metal Legion Extreme Magazine. Check out the Facebook page. If you want a copy in the UK, just message the show and I'll send you one out for $4.99. That's including the postage. And I won't charge a postage, is basically what I'm saying there.
He's a good egg.
If you're outside the UK, though, order it on the website. And if you look on the Facebook page, they're doing bundle deals at the moment. So
I was looking at them little packages, man. There's some good little things there.
Get a bit more. He obviously, Ricardo understands that you know, postage is a bit poxy nowadays, so he's trying to put together a little package to kind of justify that postage.
Smooth the cost of postage is always welcome.
Basically, you're paying it anyway, so he's trying to give you a bit more for your buck, which I think is cool.
It's not an album. It's not a magazine that's just on the shelf in WH Smith's, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But so, it fucking should be.
Yes, it's a good read. There's fucking... I still haven't got through half of the reviews in it. I enjoyed it. You should enjoy it and you should fucking buy it. I'm doing nothing but editing and creating fucking interviews for the big show that we're going to do. I'm getting a feeling, though. The people that I have confirmed so far, it's going to be a fucking double-header show. It will either be a fucking epic one or one that's split over Christmas and New Year, which... In a good way, because it makes us have to do a lot more work in the short term, but over Christmas it just means we can be men of fucking leisure, and I'm all about being a man of leisure over Christmas. So if you like it, this show, share this fucking show. We got here through this album again. Joe, you are welcome to torture me in further ones. Thanks very much for listening. See you later.
Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit.